I just wondered if you, you know, other than, you know, construct a filter and stuff, I just wonder if you would experience that thing.
Yeah, my approach to that problem would be the first RF resonate loop, then put it into a series of preamps that it would be op-amps, and by using active filter network in the op-amps, I could make sure that nothing but the desired signal comes through. John, when you're listening to that 60 kilohertz signal, and it goes into your demodulated receiver, and you demodulate all the information you want out of it for exact timing signals and maybe even a frequency reference, how reliable is that signal morning, noon, afternoon, evening, midnight, day after day? How reliable is that 60 kilohertz signal at your QTH?
Extremely. I would say I can maybe count on one finger the number of times when I haven't been able to receive the signal, and that was because the signal was going to a slow feed that lasted maybe 15 minutes, maybe half an hour. I'm still not clear as to how the signal actually reaches this far, whether it's pure ground wave. I think it's a combination of ground wave and sky wave. And around the time of sunset, between sunset here and sunset out there, that period is a little turbulent, so there's some signal fading. It's very slow fading that occurs. Sometimes the signal peaks up during that period also. But at any other time of the day, in fact, even at that time of day, it's still okay. You know, there's still enough signal there to copy it. And yes, I do use this as a frequency standard. And going back earlier, talking about how the ionosphere affects HS signals, I've been using this along with some other circuitry to participate in the ARRL frequency measuring tests for the past couple of years. The last one was in last November. And prior to the event, I measured THU's frequency and WWZ's frequency at 2.5 megahertz. And I observed something kind of interesting. Well, first of all, the frequencies that I'm measuring are usually lower than the transmitted frequencies. And based on the time of night, based on the fact this is probably a propagation off the E layer at that hour is probably rising a bit. So I'm getting some, I'm actually able to measure the Doppler shift that I'm seeing. And rough guess, about 7 or 8 miles an hour is the rate at which the ionosphere is rising. But something interesting, more interesting than that, I've observed. When the signal is strong, I'm usually measuring the signal slightly lower than the transmitted frequency. But occasionally the signal will start to fade a bit and get kind of weak and stay that way for a few minutes. During those periods of time, the signal is higher in frequency than nominal. That's interesting. K2REW and a TechNet from KD2BD.
When it's higher, it suggests that the ionosphere is moving downward. At 60 kilohertz, what is the D-layer absorption like at high noon? On 80 meters, D-layer absorption is a killer. Is it still a big absorber at 60 kilohertz, John?
No, negative. It's a reflector. It's a reflector, and the D-layer never goes away. It gets thin, and it rises in the evening. And it becomes maybe a little bit better of a reflector, maybe because of the height, maybe because there's a little bit less loss there. But it is a reflector at those frequencies. That's something you don't read about in the ham literature. Over.
Yeah, everything I read about the D-layer speaks of it in disparaging terms. Like, you wish it would go away, it's always a great big absorber of HF frequencies. So I think you're saying when you get all the way down to 60 kilohertz, and maybe at 100 kilohertz, it is something that's favorable. Even though it's super low, and therefore it's not going to give you very long propagation on one bounce, who cares if the signal takes 50 bounces to get here from Boulder, Colorado, it's still very useful to you. Although, as a frequency reference at 60 kilohertz, my guess is you've got to integrate that signal for a couple of days to really discipline an oscillator to high accuracy. Is that true, John?
Roger, if you want 1 part in 10 to the negative 12th or 1 part in 10 to the negative 13th, then yes, you have to integrate it for a day. That's a little excessive for the things that I do. I discipline a 10 megahertz oscillator, temperature compensated crystal oscillator, through a low pass filter that has I think a propagation delay of about 30 seconds. And it forms a phase lock loop. I do some, I use a biquad, three op amps and a biquad configuration as an IF amplifier at 10 kilohertz and do some mixing and the magic happens and the oscillator becomes disciplined and I get a reading on my LCD display of a representative of the error voltage that's done through a 10-bit A to D converter, and I use a multi-turn pot to tweak the voltage on that oscillator to get it right on target, and it pretty much stays there. Although I have to admit it's probably the most sensitive thermometer I have in the house, but it does the job. It's the frequency standard I have. K2RAW and a TechNet from KD. Oh, yeah, KD2BD. One other thing I wanted to mention. I came across a website one day that showed a graph that I believe is updated every so often. And the graph plots signal strength received of some military or Navy VLF stations down around 22 kilohertz or 18 kilohertz or something like that. They show that graph, and then they also can show the K-index graph. And when there's a solar flare or something's going on, the K-index rises. That signal strength also rises, and you can see the correlation between the two graphs. It's really quite interesting. The flare and the particle emission from the sun ionizes the D layer, makes it even a better reflector at those frequencies during those times. K2RAW and the TechNet from KD2BD.
Fantastic. Another question I wanted to ask you. How did I forget it? You're living in Seagirt, New Jersey. I'd love to know how many bounces that poor signal is going to take in order to get to you. You're obviously getting a non-reliable signal integrated for some significant period of time, and you're getting a good frequency reference out of it. I'm a little bit amazed, though, that you said, oh, yeah, now I remember, biquad. I've heard the word biquad. All of a sudden, I'm having trouble relating it. Is that a kind of an electronic filter, a little bit like Salon Key? A biquad amplifier, go ahead.
Roger. It uses three op amps. I think sometimes you'll see it as a variable speak filter where you can get low pass, high pass, and band pass, maybe even notch outputs out of the same circuit. Obviously, I just need the band pass characteristics, so that's how I'm using it. You get a lot of gain out of it, a lot of Q, which is exactly what I needed. And in order to make this thing work at 10 kilohertz, I had to use a fairly high-speed op amp, one that's good for 25 megahertz, and some fairly low-loss capacitors. Otherwise, the Q and the gain went down substantially. And if I used an op amp that was good for maybe 4 megahertz, the thing just oscillated. It didn't even work at all. Yep,
that makes sense. Now, because the ionosphere is moving up and down, you're getting Doppler shift over hour period, and only when you integrate for a full 24 hours or maybe multiple 24 hours are you getting a real accurate count. As such, I'm a little bit amazed that the phase lock system, the disciplining system, I think you said it's got a time constant of 30 seconds. Maybe I'm wrong, but my first impression was if I was disciplining an oscillator with a 60 kc received signal from the ionosphere, I think I'd want to make the time constant of the lockup have more like a 24-hour period rather than a 30-second period. Where am I going wrong on that one, John?
Well, that's fine. It just would take quite a long time to lock the system up. And I would have to have a really, really stable oscillator to begin with. Since the oscillator that I have is a $50 item, special ordered from Bomar Crystals. There is some drift involved. There's some turn-on drift that's involved. There's some temperature variations, even though it's supposedly temperature compensated. So I need that time constant to be short enough to compensate for my local oscillator drift and not be too concerned about ionospheric propagation.
Okay. Then tell me this if you happen to know. In the worst-case rate of Doppler shift of the ionosphere, starting off with a 60 kilohertz reference signal, which I guess you're multiplying up to your 10 meg rock or whatever. What is the worst case Doppler in parts per million? With that Doppler, are you getting error in 10 to the minus 5, 10 to the minus 4, numbers like that?
Well, kind of hard to tell without another reference. I just before that last frequency measurement test, I did take measurements of CHU and WWV at 2.5 megahertz, and I took the averages of those two.